where I'd do a dozen push-ups or pull-ups and then run some more. Instead, I found myself throwing my body into patches of mud and army crawling under barbed wire that scratched my back as if we were preparing for the beaches of Okinawa. Then I'd unpucker myself from the mud, run another quarter mile, and hit the monkey bars. That sounds like fun, I know. Hey, monkey bars. But these were 20 yards of monkey bars that real monkeys would have looked at and said, no way. I ignored the scratches on my back, the dripping mud on my belly, and the searing pain in my forearms as I navigated the bars, wondering whether I should let go and plunge into the 4 feet of mud below me. Another running quarter of a mile, I was carrying a tractor tire on my shoulders while trying to hike up a mud slick hill. Mud was kind of the theme of everything. It was everywhere. I had mud in places I didn't know I had places. After completing half the course, I called it a day. Well, that's not really what happened. Basically, I cheated. I sort of kept running or limping past the obstacles. I figured that since I was a big mud blob by this time, no one could identify me anyway. I was exhausted. I was humbled. I'd been ready for a four-mile run in the sunshine. It was the obstacles that took me down. I read that. I couldn't help but laugh at the thought of that. And I thought, he never did even mention how his wife did on the obstacle course. I suppose it was a smart thing to leave some things unsaid. We've been talking about being desperate for the truth. Satan throws a lot of obstacles in our pathway to try and discourage us or hinder us from being in the truth of God's word. There's the mud hole of being busy. I wonder how many of us are too busy to be in God's word, his truth. You know, I just have so many things to do. I'm too busy to be steady, to be faithful in the word of God. Then there's the monkey bars of weariness. We're just too tired at the end of the day to be in the truth of God's word. And of course, weariness and busyness go together because we're weary because we've been so busy. And if it's not at the end of the day that we don't take time, we've been so busy through the day, we're weary, and so we go to bed and we sleep until the very last moment that we can afford to be in bed, and then we get up and immediately we're on the run trying to get to where we got to go. And so we're busy, we're weary, and then there is the mud hole, the tractor tires that we are having to carry up this hill, heavy burdens that weigh us down and consume our attention, and our own sin that we just can't seem to get past, and we have all of this burden on us. And Satan uses that to keep us from being in the Word of God. He doesn't want us in the Word of God. He will do everything he can to keep us from being in the Word of God. He will throw everything at us to keep us from being in the Word of God. He will fight tooth and nail to keep us from being in the Word of God. And you know what? We need to fight back. With Jesus' help, we need his help to overcome all of these obstacles that are in our pathway. We need to become students of the Word of God. This book is his truth. It's His truth for our life. This book is sweeter than honey. It's more precious than gold or silver. This book is food for our soul. We need to become students of this book. First, we need to want to. As children of God, we should want to be in the Word of God. We should want to hear from Him. We should want to know Him. We should want to know His mind and His heart. And this book is going to help us get that done. Let me ask you, how big is your want to? We usually get done what we want to get done. I want to eat lunch today. And outside of an emergency, I think I will get that done. And probably most of you will too. I wanted to watch the Chiefs first game this last Thursday night. I did watch that game. I put it on my calendar. I made sure I had access to a TV so that I could watch that game, and I had plenty of snacks within reach. We usually get done what we want to get done, don't we? And so let me ask you again, how big is your want to? This book leads us to Jesus. This book answers life's most important questions. It answers the question of who am I? How did I get here? Why am I here? Where am I going? This book answers all of those questions. This book answers the question, how am I saved from my sin? How do I know for sure that I'm going to heaven? This book answers the question, why is there suffering in this world? Every question that we need answered, if there is an answer for it, we will find it in this book. Now, some questions God didn't intend for us to have an answer to. I don't think that we have ever had an answer to the question of why did Cindy miscarry that first pregnancy that she had after years of dealing with infertility. We didn't ever come up with a really good answer for that question. My sister has had 6 months of really traumatic turmoil in her life, and many of you have been praying for her with me, and praise God we've seen an answer to that prayer. But you know, I don't know that we'll have a good answer as to the why of that 6 month period in her life. There's some questions that we have in life. You have questions of your own, such as what I've said to you. You have questions. I have questions. Maybe we'll never have an answer for them. But if there are those kinds of questions in our life that are unanswerable, we sung about it even this morning, those are the times that we trust God anyway. Because His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are much greater than our thoughts. I want to ask you, though, how big is your want to when it comes to being a student of this Word? We should be praying, God, would you grow my want to? Would you help me to desire more, that I might know you more intimately? And Lord, would you give me the discipline that I need to be in this book? Oh, discipline. That's a pretty tough thing, isn't it? Discipline's never easy. We need discipline. If we're going to have an exercise program, we need discipline. If we're going to have any thought about dieting and losing weight, we need discipline to be able to push away from the table. We need discipline to be able to quit that bad habit, to get rid of that addiction in our life. Discipline is hard. It's hard. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25 says, "Do not run. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run? But only one gets the prize. Run in such a way that you might win the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." Discipline is hard. And we discipline ourselves in these areas of dieting and exercise. And Paul is saying we discipline ourselves in these earthly areas that we get a crown that is fading away. We as Christians, as God's children, need to discipline ourselves in those areas that will give us a crown that lasts forever. And that's what we're talking about today, that discipline of being in the Word of God. As we are in the Word of God, I said it last week, it will lead us to Jesus. And He is the Savior of our soul. We're talking about eternal matters today. We're talking about knowing the Creator and Savior of our soul. And we need to have some want to. To get into this book, to know Him more intimately, we need to have some want to. How big is your want to? After the want to, there needs to be a follow through. If I want to push away from the table but have no follow through, then my want to is nothing more than hot air. And let me encourage you then to have some follow through to your want to. We need to give some attention to the following disciplines in regards to this book right here. First of all, we need to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ." There is so much opportunity to hear God's Word these days. On Sunday morning, we have a great opportunity to hear the Word of God as it is preached. Every Sunday, it's preached to us. We need to want to hear it. We need to discipline ourselves to hear it. And not be here in this setting and just daydream or let the words go in one ear and out the other. To not be thinking about everything but what is being said right here. Because this is the Word of God that is being spoken to us. Every Sunday we have that opportunity to hear the Word of God. And this device right here. This device is so helpful to us. You know, sometimes we kind of rag on this device, but it's actually a device that can help us in regards to the Word of God. We can have, with this device, even someone read the Word to us as we're driving down the road. And if we choose to, 24/7, around the clock, we can listen to podcasts and sermons of the Word of God being preached. We have such opportunity these days to hear the Word of God. We need to take advantage of those opportunities to hear the Word of God. God's Word builds our faith. It encourages us. It comforts us. It convicts us. It directs us. We need to hear the Word of God. Jesus said it this way, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." There's another discipline in regards to this book. We need to read the Word of God. Several scriptures that I found even this week as I was researching this point of reading God's Word. Let me bring them to your attention, a few of them. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 and 19. It says, "Now it shall come about when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests." Now I want to ask you, as we read through this passage, who's the he? Okay, verse 19. "It shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes." Who's the he? It's the king. It's the king. The he is the king. And what's the king doing? He's to be a student of the book. He's writing the book down. He's reading the word. He's to be in the word. He's to be hearing the word. He's to be letting the word change him first. And then he's to be presenting the word to his people. Wouldn't it be good if our leaders, our president, his cabinet, and all of Congress would become people of this book? What a difference it would make in our country. We see specifically the difference it made in Judah when Josiah the king read the book of the law to them. Let me read to you 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 1 to 3. "Then the king sent, and they gathered to him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to carry out the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people entered into the covenant." That was the beginning of a revival. You keep reading in this same chapter, there was a purging of all the idols in the land. The revival started with the reading of God's word. Revival can happen. Even still today, revival can happen. It can happen not only in our country, it can happen in our church, it can happen in our individual lives as we become students of this book and read the words of truth in this book, and we get to know the God of this book. This book was not meant to sit on a shelf and collect dust. It was not meant to be just the centerpiece on a coffee table. It was meant to be read. I've been reading through Jeremiah the last couple of weeks in my personal devotional time, and one verse that stood out to me has been Jeremiah 15:16, where it says, "Your words were found, and I," what? "Ate them." I ate them. "And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart." I'm wondering, would you like to have joy in your heart? Then eat the words of this book. Take delight in what God's word says and consume it and let it transform your life, and it will give you a new outlook, and it will give to you a joy that is inexpressible. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is he, happy is he who reads and who hears the words of the prophecy and heeds the things which are written in it." These are just a few of the verses that have to do with the reading of God's word. You and I need to be reading this book. Maybe less time on social media and more time in this book would do us a world of good. John Wesley said this, and I quote, and I want you to pick up on his desire for the Word of God in this statement. He says, "Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. Here is knowledge enough for me. Here I am, far from the busy ways of men. I sit down alone. Only God is here. In His presence, I read His book." Wow. God, would you give me that kind of desire? Would you give me that kind of want to? Would you give me that kind of discipline to be in your book? And God, would you change me? Would you transform me? That should be our prayer. That should be our want to. Here's another discipline. We need to study the Word of God. This is diving deeper into his book. I mentioned to you last week, one of the ways that we could study His Word is to look at some of the words that are in the verses that we're looking at. See what those words mean. That's one way to study deeper the Word of God. The Desperate You lessons that we're making available to you each week of this 2020. That's a real easy way for you to get into a deeper study of God's Word. Every week we are providing you a lesson, a topical lesson that you can dive into the subject of that lesson and learn more about that particular topic. This last week's topic was kindness. We've been looking actually the last several weeks at the fruit of the Spirit, taking a look at love and joy and patience and kindness and goodness. 9 character qualities that the Holy Spirit brings to us. And as we dive into these studies, hopefully we are expanding our knowledge of God's Word. But I will be quick to say to you, it's not just knowledge that God is interested in us having. Knowledge is good, but it needs to go further than that. He wants us to grow in the knowledge of His Word, and He wants us to grow in His grace. In other words, He wants us to become more like Him. He wants the character of Jesus to become our character. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." As deep as you want to go, God's Word is deeper still. Think about that. As deep as you want to go in this book, God's Word is deeper still. In other words, you will never exhaust the wisdom of God as you dig into this book. I love the passage out of Romans chapter 11, verse 33 and following. It says, "Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge." I mean, just keep reading that passage as I talk to you, but particularly that very first phrase, "How great, God, are your riches and your wisdom and your knowledge." We can never exhaust the wisdom of God's Word. It's just too great. It's too deep. All the study in the world, we could never get to the bottom of the well of God's wisdom. But our motivation should be to dig deeper and deeper and deeper into God's Word. And God longs to share His Word with us. He longs to share His wisdom with us. How much better to fill our minds with the wisdom of God than to fill our minds with the junk of this world? His wisdom will transform us. The junk of this world will pollute our minds and bring chaos to our hearts. I don't know about you, but for me, I'm thinking there's so much chaos out there in the world. There's so much junk out there in the world. I don't need that in my mind and heart. What I need is to have His truth, which will bear the fruit of righteousness and peace. It will bring wholeness to us. It will bring comfort to us. The discipline of studying God's Word takes some time. It takes effort. It takes hard work. It's like digging for gold. It's hard work, but it's so rewarding as you find those little nuggets of truth. I wish we could become better students of God's Word. What kind of blessing could we experience to study the subject of grace? What kind of blessing could we experience to study the subject of faith, or to study the subject of baptism and see what God's Word really says about it? To study the subject of suffering and how God can take that which is bad and He can work good from it. This book is a deep, deep well of wisdom and knowledge, and we need to gather from it all we can. A few weeks ago, as Cindy and I were heading to the Smoky Mountains to vacation with our three kids and their families, we were traveling across southern Missouri. Many of you have traveled that road. I think it was Highway 60 across southern Missouri, and it was lunchtime, and we had planned to stop, and we had packed our lunch. We were traveling with Abby's family, our daughter, and so there were two of us, two cars, two vehicles, and we had planned to stop at Big Spring, Missouri. You ever been there? Have you ever seen Big Spring State Park? It's the home. Big Spring, Missouri is the home of Big Spring State Park. And really, it's an amazing sight to see. So glad that we had planned our trip to stop there for lunch. Not only did we enjoy a good lunch, but we enjoyed the sights of that particular state park. It's one of the homes of the biggest, it's one of the biggest springs in our country. And there's a picture of it. I have actually two pictures. So this is looking at it from a different angle than what that first picture was. But really, just out of the ground, out of the hole in the rock, is bubbling all of this water. 286 million gallons of water a day. Can you imagine? 286 million gallons of water a day. Can you imagine trying to gather all of that water with a bucket? Couldn't do it. It'd be impossible. Couldn't even come close. And so it is true with the Word of God. We can gather all of the knowledge that we can possibly can from this book, but we won't even come close to getting it all. It's that deep. It's that vast. It's immeasurable. The wisdom of our God in this book. You dig deep and you go for gold with this book, but you'll never get it all, because it's just his mind is so much higher than ours. His thoughts are so much deeper than ours. There is no God like our God. Could I challenge you to try and go one step deeper with His Word than where you are right now? Just take the next step. And if that next step is hearing, then take that step. If the next step for you is reading, then take that step. By all means, take that step. If the next step for you is studying, getting deeper, then take that step. And there's more. There's memorizing His Word. There's meditating on His Word. I'm not going to take the time to really go deep into those topics simply because of our time. But there, those are the next steps, to memorize His Word. And I know some of you are saying, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Now, it may take a whole lot more effort and a whole lot more time. But you can. I'm going to brag on Steve Long for a moment. Steve is in my discipleship group, and I meet every week with Steve and Austin King, and Steve's the old guy in the group. And I tell you what, Austin and I have to work hard to keep up with him in the memorization of his word, of God's word. It can be done. And I know people who are older particularly enjoy crossword puzzles. My in-laws love doing crossword puzzles, and they did that to keep their minds sharp. It is a very good exercise to keep one's mind sharp. My wife loves to do crossword puzzles. It keeps her mind somewhat sharp. You know what will really keep your mind sharp too? Is the memorization of God's Word. Give your discipline towards that. Work hard at it. Hide His Word in your heart. The psalmist said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalms 119:11. Memorize His Word. Meditate on His Word. Think about it all day long as you go through your day, as you lay your head on the pillow at night and you wake up in the middle of the night. Meditate on His Word. Have a scripture on your mind. And I said to you, it will bear the fruit of righteousness, and it will bear the fruit of peace. You want peace? Then you dig deep into God's Word. I want to end with that question. Are you desperate for the truth? I think we've established these last few weeks, this is the truth right here. Are you desperate for the truth? How's your want to? And how is your follow through? Let's pray together. God, help us. Help us to have the want to. Help us to have the follow through. Grow us deeper into your word, that we might be more like Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.